You know how it is when you've kicked around the globe too long and scorched your grits too many times with four fingers of Jack in a mug and a beer back or with any other kind of flak juice that was handy. And if that wasn't enough, maybe doubling down in the morning with a half dozen tall glasses of crushed ice and cherries and sliced oranges and vodka to drive the snakes and the spiders back into the basement. Wow, what a gas. Who thought we'd ever die? But why get into all that jazz? I'll tell you why. I'm talking about those moments when you strip your gears, whether you're chemically loaded or not, and get lost inside the immensity of creation and see too deeply into our ephemerality and our penchant for greed and war and willingness to destroy the big blue marble. And for a brief moment, you scare yourself so badly, you wonder why you didn't park your porridge on the ceiling a long time ago. That kind of moment came to me once, when I was standing on a Texas dock in the sunset, while the waves rolled below me and thudded as hard as lead against the pilings, an incandescent spray blowing as cool as refrigeration on my clothes and skin, a green-gold light as bright as an acetylene torch in the clouds, the amusement pier ringing with calliope music and the popping of shooting galleries. It was one of the moments when you hang between life and death and ache to hold on to the earth and eternity at the same time, regretting all those days and nights you pitched over the gunwales while you deconstructed your life. I'm talking about the acknowledgement of mortality, and not the kind that slips up on you in a hospice or on a battlefield filled with the cawing of carrion birds or by way of a drunk driver bouncing over a curb into a playground. I'm talking about seeing the seventh seal at work and a string of medieval serfs and liege lords and virginal maidens wending their way across a hilltop to a valley dark as oil, their silhouettes blowing like pieces of carbon in the wind. The people who have these moments of metaphysical clarity are what I call members of the 3% club, because in my opinion, that's approximately the percentage of people who fry a couple of their lobes and are able to talk about it later. You can pay your dues in lots of ways, on a night trail sprinkled with Chinese toe poppers and booby-trapped 105 duds, or stacking time on a hard road, or kneeling on a hard floor in a convent with a rosary twisted around your knuckles, or listening to voices in your head that are as loud as megaphones. The surroundings don't matter. You're in a black box for the duration, Jason. You literally sweat blood, but to say it's a motherfucker doesn't come close. After you're through with the long night of the soul, or after it's through with you, you're never the same. Earthly fears disappear like a great weight removed from a scale. You have no inclination to argue or hold grudges. Reticence becomes a way of life. It's hard to stay awake during an average conversation. The downside is you're on your own, the only occupant in a cathedral in which you can hear your heartbeat echoing off the walls. What does all this have to do with Johnny Chandel? I'll tell you. He was out of another era, even though he was more symbolic of it than part of it, an era we always want to resurrect, whether we admit it or not. Jesus talked about people who are made different in the womb. I'll take that a step further. Maybe some people were never in the womb. They arrive inside a golden bubble and somehow become the icon for the rest of us. At least that's how I thought of Johnny and Isolde. Call it a scam or a sham or the stupidity of the herd, who cares? The only reality you have is the one you believe in. I say 86 the rest of it. Back in that other era, America was still America, for good or bad. Men such as Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower were present. We didn't have the daily arrival of the clown car. People can say that's just nostalgia talking. They're wrong. For us in Louisiana, It was a time of music and drive-in movies and starry skies and two-lane roads that meandered for miles through meadows and oak trees hung with Spanish moss. If you don't believe me, ask my friend Cleet Purcell. He'll tell you all about it. I can almost hear him now.
It was deeply copacetic, nobleman. You can take that to the shack, Jack. I wouldn't give you the slide, Clyde.